witnesses Jesus is the Christ. 1 John 5:6, start our reading there. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these the three agree in one. If we see the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for all thy blessings you give us in Christ Jesus, knowing your word is ever settled in heaven, and Lord, that you have given it to us as it pleased thee, and all that was written is written according to thy good will and pleasure. We thank you for the Spirit that helps us and guides us and directs us in all truth, and we just pray for those without Christ that he might lead them to that great truth today, and that they may be born again. We just look to thee for the saints that be edified and strengthened in the faith. We just praise thee and thank thee in Jesus Christ's name. Ask your blessings upon the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, witness that Jesus is the Christ. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That was from our last study in 5:5. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Our passage speaks about the Trinity, and I plan to do a message on the Trinity later out of our study. But I will say this in case I don't. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. The Spirit is not the Son, nor is he the Father, and the Son's not the Spirit. And so God is one God, yet three persons, and they're indivisible as God, but yet they are three personalities, and yet and have different functions in the Godhead. In John 3, just quickly, and there in 13, and Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, and Jesus is speaking as Jesus the Christ. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, this is a time thing that Jesus said these things are occurring at the same time. And so one of the statements we'll make about Jesus Christ, that he's indivisible, and some will say, well, he died on the cross at Calvary, and and he, in his body, was in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, and so is he indivisible. Well, that which is man, just like when you die and I die, that which is left of us that goes to be with the Lord, was still tied to the Son of God. He descended that he might ascend into glory. When we think about God has given a record that that we might believe that Jesus is his Son, is the true Messiah, the Christ, the only one by which God will grant salvation to anyone, is by faith in him. On this point, we must be absolutely clear. Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God, God in the flesh, God with us, Jesus incarnate, the Son of God, the Son of Man, in one person. He is the one who created the heaven and earth. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and died for the sins of the world, the indivisible Christ, in whom, if you believe, you will overcome the world. If you don't believe in this Christ, you'll not overcome the world. God has given us many witnesses and facts in the Scriptures about the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the truth of the matter that He is the true Savior, that He is God the Savior, He is the Redeemer, He is the Deliverer, He is your only hope for salvation. God then, through these witnesses, the gospel of His Son, the Spirit witnesses to us of the things in our heart and those things which we believe and those things which we hold to. He guides us, directs us, and when we fall into someone or somebody gives us some false doctrine, He leads us out of that, helps, if you will, delineate it, and sometime we get smarter than we think we are, that He delivers us out of such trash, if you will, or tragedies that happens by many. Then the water and the blood depicting the ministry from beginning to end, and however the greatest witness of all, of course, is God the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and the whole earth as revealed by Almighty God. The water and the blood in verse 6 testifies by the Spirit. And there's much controversy, and if you've studied this, you know some believe it's the water that came from Jesus' side, the water and the blood. Others depict other things that I'm not going to mention. If you want to learn some heresy, I'll let you study it out for yourself. But I think it's as referring to, and we go to Matthew 3:16, it's concerning Jesus' whole ministry, that His ministry testifies that He is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, we could start with His birth, but there's no evidence other than when He confronted the doctors and lawyers at Jerusalem that He was something extraordinary special. But in Matthew 3:16, it says, "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So we see there the testimony of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that He is the Messiah. And the Father, this is the only time before this, He says His voice, "And no man has heard God at any time." And yet throughout the Old Testament, has where God's speaking to this one or that one, and I spoke out of the heavens, and on the Mount Sinai, we could go there, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the voice of God. Yeah. He is the Word of God. And so it says that from the clouds God spoke, and the point of this is that this is a testimony that's unique and special in the whole Scriptures that God's speaking as He did, or as the Father spoke there in John 1, in the book of John 1:33, and it says, "And I knew Him not, but He that sent Me to baptize with water, the same said unto Me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same is He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." And so this was the testimony. John was the forerunner. He was preparing the way for the Messiah. And he had told them that was what He was there for. And He preached the gospel of repentance, if you want to call it the gospel, or good news of repentance, and pointing to Him that was come. And when he seen Jesus, he said, "This is He." And this is the one that the Spirit descended upon when He had baptized. This was the only one where this had happened. Of all the thousands that John the Baptist baptized, he's the only one that out of heaven came a dove and descended upon Him. And the Father spoke from heaven declaring Him to be His Son. These speak of Jesus' ministry from His baptism to His death on the cross. And the blood speaks of His what He shed on the cross at Calvary to save sinners. And let me say to you, His whole thing from His virgin birth to His confronting the lawyers to His being baptized to His death on the cross all had to be done to fulfill all the Scriptures that the Old Testament spoke about Him and the things that He would do. And yes, The Old Testament speaks many more things about the Christ, but that as it is at his second coming. And so we see then that his blood speaks of the new covenant in Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And we have had several different lessons, whether Sunday school or whether it was Wednesday night or preaching messages that spoke about the two covenants. And we're in the new covenant, the new testament. And Jesus' blood is the seal for that new testament. The Old Testament was sealed with the blood of bulls and goats, and as they sprinkled, as Moses sprinkled it, and he sealed the people and sealed the books, if you will, under that covenant. But we're under a blood covenant also. But our blood covenant is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he brought in a new covenant, a new thing that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, and that our sins are done away with, not covered, not, if you will, put under a mattress, but they're absolutely done away with, no longer to be brought into against us in any way, shape, or form. He testified of the need of the sacrificial blood there in Hebrews 9:22, as the Word of God testifies to these things. And it says in 22, "In almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us." Amen. And what Jesus did, he did it once for all. No more to have to die again. No more shed his blood again. It was once and forever. That's the reason if you reject this covenant, there's no hope for you. Because Christ is not going to die, will not die again. It is faith in his blood that brings appeasement in Romans 3:25, "whom God has set forth be a propitiation through faith in his blood." And so we have propitiation, appeasement of God's wrath against us by the blood. And so when it speaks about the water and the blood, it speaks of his whole ministry on the earth, the blood for the justification of believers in Romans 9:9. Justified by his blood, and we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we don't have to worry about the final judgment, the white throne judgment. We're delivered from that. We don't have to worry about, if you will, taste not, touch not, handle not. You know, some of those people would touch a dead body by accident. I mean, they didn't do it on purpose. They just accidentally touched a dead body. Well, they were unclean. And they'd be unclean for a certain period of time and have to have the water of separation sprinkled on them and the things that was required. Matter of fact, walking across the grave would make you unclean in the same way. And so they would whitewash the tombstone so you could tell where the grave was, where you wouldn't accidentally walk across somebody's grave. Now, how many people here has walked across somebody's grave? Was you cleansed from that? I mean, did you go through a cleansing ceremony to get clean from that? And you look at me like I'm crazy. Well, we're delivered from that. Amen. Well, that's part of the law. We're delivered. We don't do that. I mean, we should have respect for the dead. I'm not saying that. But on the other hand, as you go to some of the funerals today, you have to. And the point I'm making is that we're free from that. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all such things. Yeah. The touch not, handle not, and taste not. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." There's not much clearer than you can get than that. So he has eliminated, done away with, delivered us from our sins. We Christ through the eternal Spirit in Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Everybody here had a dead conscience when God saved you. And you were sprinkled, if you will. You was cleansed. You was made alive. Yes, your conscience can be defiled yet. We know that. But praise God, we are cleansed from that and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the eternal Spirit. This may remind us of the laver of water that the priest would wash before they go into the holy place or into the holy of holies. And some use this that we should cleanse our minds and all this before we enter in prayer. I'm not going to discuss that, but it's something to think about. Trinity's testimony in verses 7 and 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, you know, they don't agree in one, but they are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, there's a difference between agree are one and in one. We might agree together on a certain thing, and we can say we're one in that. But we might disagree on something else. And being good Baptists, we know we would. But the point is, one is speaking of the Trinity, one is speaking of the testimony on the earth. Now, as we think about that Jesus baptism, we already mentioned the Father, the Word, and the Spirit of God descended upon the Lord, the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17:5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. We are reminded that when the Spirit came upon the Lord Jesus Christ at his baptism, Jesus received the Spirit without measure. Yeah. Without measure. You and I receive the Spirit by measure. He received the Spirit without measure. And there's a difference there. But we're not getting into this morning. It'll be something to look up and study. But nonetheless, when we have this testimony at the Mount of Transfiguration, it is quite obvious when the Spirit was upon him that the Spirit was there too in this testimony at the Transfiguration. The Word himself there in John 1, starting at verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we see then that the Word of God testifies, and here we find that Jesus Christ is testifying to that he is the Word, that he was with God, he is God. And verse 14 clearly shows the incarnation. All these things testify that he is the one spoken of in Isaiah that would come by a virgin. He is the one that come by Isaiah that he would be a ruler, and that is yet to come. And yet we find in Revelation him speaking of him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we find that Pilate, when he's in the Inquisition, I guess you say, of Jesus Christ, he said, art thou a king? And Jesus says, didn't say he wasn't a king. He just says, it is not this kingdom. That is, if this was going to be his kingdom, then it would be his kingdom. He wouldn't have to worry about Pilate and the rest of them. And so we find that Jesus is spoken of, and there in John 3:8, turn there, and speaks of the Spirit of God that testifies in us. 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I didn't know how the Spirit came in. I didn't know the Spirit had come in. I just knew that I was a lost sinner, in need of a Savior. And so as I repented that night and looked to God and begging God and delivered me and all these types of things, the Spirit was done all that. He was in me. And if you will, that's part of the new birth. And yet, I didn't know how he came. And so it's the way he left. Well, we could say in a sense, and yet we know that all those that are born again, the Spirit never leaves, for he dwells within them. But it's not in the same way that it was that night that you was converted. The brother was talking about the magnificent conversion of Paul, and that's true. But the greatest conversion I've ever experienced is mine. And yet, I know in the Scriptures a lot of others had tremendous, we would say tremendous conversion. I mean, there was a lot of things that they could around and brag about if they were bragging people. But we know it's not to brag about, but the point I'm making is the greatest one you'll ever experience will be yours. And all the rest, you think, well, that's not exactly what happened to me, but nonetheless, I'm just as redeemed as Paul is, just as converted as he is, be in glory with him forevermore. The Father bore and is bearing witness of Jesus Christ. There in John 5:37, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice, or seen at any time, nor seen his shape." Now, and so the Father testifies of him, evident that the Father draws men into Christ, is 6:44. And this is the part of that inward testimony that God gives us. "No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So, unless the Father draw, you can't be saved. And somebody said, "Well, I thought it was the Spirit drew me." Well, it is. Somebody else said, "Well, I thought it was Christ that called me." He did. All those are true. God called you to salvation. But if you're not drawn to Christ, that is, have a desire. Isaiah 53 says, "No comeliness about him that any man should," what? "Desire him." So the only way you'd come to Christ is either God draw you or push you. And the Scripture says he draws you. And that is by, if you will, his loving kindness that he draws us. We're, excuse me. And so the evidence then that the Father draws men to Christ, these three are one. Verse 8 kind of goes back to verse 6, and we'll deal then with verse 9 of our text. Earth's testimony also as it agrees with God. There in verse 9, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, that he hath testified of his Son." Now, only when man's ministry agrees with God is it acceptable. I was thinking about this morning. When I started out, I used very few scriptures. And then after I heard some heretics, I used a lot of scriptures. Because I'd rather for the Word to speak than me. I'd rather for you to hear what God says about something than what I say about something. To me, it's more important that you get it from God and not in my misquotation, maybe, of accidentally misquoting the same verse in 2 or 3 or 4 sermons. After I heard that particular thing one time, I thought, his testimony is no good. Because he's making the Scriptures say what he wants it to say, rather than what it actually says. And to receive the witness of men when it disagrees with God is foolishness and dangerous. We are not to accept false testimony from any. The Spirit bears witness of Jesus Christ. There in John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show it you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now somebody said, well, that's just strictly for the apostles, that's not for us. Is that true? I mean, is that really just for them, and we're recording this to see what God had given them? There's two particular things it says is it leads you to all truth. Show you things, I mean, more than two. Show you things to come. Have you read Revelation? Do you believe it? Yeah. You're looking for Jesus to come. Maybe the Spirit of God has shown you things to come. And as we look at that testimony, as he shows us the truth, and the other thing is the Spirit doesn't speak of himself. The Spirit doesn't speak of himself. Now, what does that mean? If somebody says the Holy Ghost this, and the Holy Spirit this, and this, that, and the other, and never mention the name of Jesus or God hardly at all, then you know you're at the wrong place, wrong crowd. For whoever's talking to you is not speaking of the Spirit. You say, well, you don't think we have messages on the Spirit? Of course we have messages on the Spirit. But the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son. The Scriptures clearly show that. He says he speaks not of himself. He doesn't declare himself. And yes, if without the Spirit, we would be dead. I mean, it is he that regenerates us. He leads us. He directs us. He guides us in the things of God. He takes that which Christ has and gives it to us, presents it to us that we might see what Christ has for us. He shows us what the Father has for us. And as we look at the eternal ages, he reveals that to us. He does all those things. But he does not speak of himself. And those who grandize the Spirit of God have no scripture basis to do it, because you never see it in the Scriptures. Never. I'll preach on that sometime, maybe, Lord willing. The Word of God testifies in Romans 10:8, but what saith thee? The Word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and in thy heart, is the Word of faith which we preach. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God has to be made effectual. The only way we can hear it is the Spirit of God make it effectual in our lives. By the blood of belief, or by the blood belief of truth, there in 1 Peter 1:2, if I pass it one more time. He elects according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And when we think about this, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, he's one who chose you. Through the sanctification of the Spirit, he's the one that called you and regenerated you. And unto the obedience, sprinkling by the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are delivered. Sprinkling here is talking about continual cleansing. The Spirit witnesses by the Word there in 1 Peter 1:23. And it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so we are dependent upon God's Word for the truth. If we reject God's Word, then we reject God. Believers has this testimony in them in verse 10 of our text. And it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So the testimony we have in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. You cannot experience and see the kingdom of God. You can't be in the family of God. You can't be in the kingdom of God. You can't be in the church of Christ. You cannot do any of those things unless you believe and see the truth, except a man be born again. By the Spirit, we see the kingdom. There in Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8:16. And it says there, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I know I usually quote that, but I think we need to look at it every line out of the Scriptures. And this is not, maybe he will. When I was lost, thinking I was saved, that was when they say, well, the Spirit bears witness. And to me, I thought, well, I got as much witness as anybody else does. I didn't have a clue what they was talking about when they said Spirit bears witness, your spirit, you children of God. I thought, what is that? That's just something they say. Until God saved me. Then it was more than just something people say. And I know I use it a lot, and that's the reason I use it a lot. Our conscience in the Spirit, Romans 9:1. I say the truth, in Christ I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, I know this is an oath, and you shouldn't take oaths, and we could go through that, but the point is that the Spirit of God does bear witness in your conscience. And when you lie, the Holy Spirit will bear witness of that lie. Not for the good. You might find chastisement on your horizon. He does bear witness, though, that the words we said are true. And when we spoke the truth, and we have a good conscience about it, it's what Paul is speaking of. I've spoken to you the truth. I, in good conscience, have said this by the Spirit of God, that this is the absolute truth, those things that he said. And we are sanctified by the Word of God. In John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Ephesians 5:26. Ephesians 5:26. And we're going to read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, we read in verse 17:17 of John, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. We had mentioned, this is speaking of the pure water, cleanses and sanctifies out of the pure water of our text. There's a pure water that cleanses, and the only pure water we have is water sometimes speak of the Spirit, and it also speaks of the Word of God. And it speaks of the Word of God in these passages that we read is like washing all the heresy off, washing off the dirt, the sins, the wickedness, getting rid of it. And don't let things stand in the church. Sometimes we tolerate sin in churches. We ought not tolerate anything that we know to be sin. Everything should be purged. We should not, who should we believe? Reporters, radio, the TV personalities, professors, doctors, PhDs, preachers, creeds, statements of faith, Bibles, only if they agree with God. And only if they agree with God's Word. Just because a bunch of Baptists get together and make a statement of faith, that don't make it the truth. It only is it agrees with God's Word. A bunch of preachers could get together and have a conclave of something kind. And after it's over, we have this thing we've signed, and we've shown you what we believe on the Trinity or whatever else they may have signed off on or what the church is. That doesn't make it true. Just because a bunch of preachers sign their name, I don't care if they're Baptist, Presbyterian, who they are. It only as it agrees with the Word of God. We could have the counsel of this and counsel of that. I was reading a sermon one time, and this, and the particular one is talking about the particular counsel, you know. I thought, what does the Catholic Council have anything to do with the truth? Now, I know some of these were earth-stopping. You know, they were eye-awakening, but those that were Baptists knew it all along what they decided was the truth. But yet, in their decrees and their counsel, they still corrupt it. We have to depend on the Word of God. Believe what the Spirit has revealed and then apply it. If it's true, then do it. If it's not, or you question it, God doesn't, God, as you just read the Scripture, If you think something, you say, well, I don't know for sure about this, well, then investigate it. Pray to God about it. Look in the Scriptures, and God will settle you on it. Don't go off half-cocked. Well, the preacher said this, we're going to go do this. You make sure for yourself that it's true. And by God's counsel, by the Spirit, giving you a good, clear conscience on it, and that you find that it is and is the truth. God's record, verses 11 and 12, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's about as clear as you can get it. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You might say you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Spirit, you have this, that, and the other. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Others claim they have the Father, that they're non-Trinitarians and so on and so forth. If you don't have the Son, Jesus says, he that believeth on him that sent me. During John, the 5th chapter. And then in Romans, it speaks of the same thing. He that sent me. What? Believe in the Father, that there is a Father. I don't know how you can not be a Trinitarian and be saved. I mean, if you're not a Trinitarian, how can you be saved? Because you must believe that the Son is. Then you must believe that the Father is. There in our passage, as we read about eternal life and and his life is in his Son, if you have not the Son, then you have not life. And then in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this speaks of the verse 12, 11, and this is the record that God has given us, to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Then verse 13 says, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, it seems like it's repeating itself, but it's telling the truth that we find is lacking in many today, and what we're lacking is the truth about eternal life, that many have believed and do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't think they have eternal life until they die. Some don't believe they have eternal life until they get the glorified body. And the truth of the matter is, God has given you eternal life. He gave it to you when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. That is right now. To those who believe on the name of the Son of God. And so, why did God then make this record? And of course, the record's made that we might believe on the Son of God. That we have eternal life right now. John says similarly in John 19:35, and he that saw it bear record, and this is the record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he hath saith true, that ye might believe. And so, do we believe God's record? Do we believe the Son of God's record? Do we believe the Holy Spirit's record? Do we believe the record that we have in the Word of God, declaring all these things to be true? Believe the record that we have within us, that God has done all these things, and the Spirit bears witness to our spirit, that we are the children of God, that we agree when the Word of God is preached in truth, and that in all things that we might magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that do not believe the record are doomed. There's no in-between about it. Either you believe the record that God's given about his Son and his Word, the testimony of the saints, which is secondary to the testimony of God and the testimony of the Word of God, and these things, if they're rejected, then you are without hope. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for his cleansing by the blood and the Word and the water by the Word.